soon.
2 Timothy chapter 2. It's impossible to overemphasize these three verses in 2 Timothy 11, 12, and 13. It sets forth the basis of Christianity. And yet they're probably the most ignored. And if this doesn't put the fear of God into you, nothing will. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. And again, the word dead there is only used of physical death. Therefore, from God's perspective, from Paul's perspective, from this perspective of eternity, you physically died. The human race died on the cross. And until that penetrates your being, Christianity will only be a philosophy. You died. There's been a usurper in the temple of God. That usurper is the instead of Christ, which is you. You have invented yourself your whole life. You're just an invention of an accident. You have no purpose. You have no past. You have no future. Everybody comprehend that?
Yeah, our past is remembered wrongly anyway, and the future is just sort of a made-up projection of how we feel right now.
In him, now is the only accepted time. Now, what? What did you say?
I just said it depends on what part of your past you're talking about.
No, it doesn't. No, Ronnie. See, that's why you always get screwed up, because you have these little loopholes. If, in view of the fact that you're dead, physically dead, you were born dead. That's what the word mortal means. Do you understand that? If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him, or by his agency. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And remember the word suffer there is that great word that it's intense abiding. No matter what the conditions are.
This first part is then the cornerstone of Trinity, if we be dead with. And I mean, that's the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
That has pushed us continually to understand dead with. And that's where your identification
Amen.
Stops.
Amen. If we deny him, he will deny us. Remember, deny built a dam. You don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. Oh, you've got so many issues and so many deals going on. And oh. No, you have no deals going on. You have no issues happening to you. Whatsoever is going on is being a partaker of the sufferings of him.
What are his sufferings? Did he suffer in that he wanted to exert himself?
Well, we spent ages on that. If you are they a disciple, God didn't care about converts. He cares about disciples. You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. His temptation was to always lean on his own arm of understanding, to exercise the power that he had, or the ability even that he had. But in each and every case, in every second after his baptism, he yielded to the Father. There was no, none, zero, zilch, operating on basis of his own understanding. Every moment was God's, and as he is in the world, so are we.
Yeah, I'd never mentally linked that with suffering. It's totally linked.
But, yeah.
Rather than said, but it's
temptations and suffering.
Yeah, it's like that is the suffering.
If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, now again, that isn't the belief in him. It's if we do not abide faithful, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And then this, I've got to read it because it's so big. He cannot deny himself. He's always true to his intrinsic nature, just as a kernel of wheat has to become a stalk of wheat. An apple seed has to become an apple tree. You cannot become something for which the empowerment isn't there. And all of your life, your purpose, your being depends on the faithfulness of that life which is in you that is not you. So, if we believe not, if we go back to our own shtick, but then true to his own nature, character, and requirements, he cannot accept as faithful one who has proved untrue to him. You're always being put to the test for the purposes of approving, not to the purposes of disapproving. But until this hyper-abiding, no matter what the condition, then you will miss the mystery. If he accepted unfaithfulness, he would be denying himself. Now in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, of these things, all the various translators that I study all say these things are those three verses. So, of these things, put them into remembrance. And it's hypomenesco, which means emphatically cause people to remember. Cause to remember. That's what the preaching of the cross is. Now, the preaching of the cross isn't about the cross 2,000 years ago. The preaching of the cross is you are on that cross. You have no life, you have no issues, you have no problems, you have nothing that you're dealing with. If you do, then you've left the mercy seat. Buddy, a little bit?
Yeah.
Joe? Charging them.
Well, this is putting the suffering thing in real personal perspective and focus, because that's all anybody that I know wants to do is control, do, have it together or whatever. That's the nature of this beast. The Antichrist wants that control. So that's where the suffering comes in, is to not yield to that.
Amen.
That's what happens when you walk out the door. That's when it all.
Right. You're fed inside the camp. You bear his reproach outside the camp. And that's why this idea that, well, I forgot. No, you can't forget. If you forgot, you never knew. The metaphor that was used in the Old Testament is, can a mother forget her suckling child? You can't forget. You act like you forget so that you can return to self-seeking. You act like you forget so that you can return to the illusion of having some control. You act like you forget so that you can have these nice thoughts about what you're going to accomplish. No, you don't forget.
Yeah, that's why you're called a believer, because it's at that juncture you either pick it up and run with it, or you rest and faith and believe.
What are you laughing at, Ronnie?
Gary.
No, you weren't. You laughed before Gary said anything.
I was looking at you and I'm laughing. You think I'm laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at him.
I don't care if you laugh at me or not.
What are you laughing at me for?
I was going to say, we forget.
I said that.
All right. Put them in remembrance. Charging. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Charging means, it's a word that I can't pronounce, which is most of them. It means to earnestly present the testimony of your death. It's dia martyr romai. Dia martyr romai. That means earnestly present. But that's what testimony means, remember? Testimony is martyr. Yeah. Any other testimony is just pure BS. Oh, I used to be bad and now I'm good. Oh, it's so sweet to hear the testimony of a new believer. No, it isn't. It's worthless. It hasn't been tested. I keep remembering Christ for the Nations. I gave a talk and they were about, all of them were going to New Orleans during Mardi Gras to save the sinners. And I told them to stay home and let that life be put to the test for the purposes of approving, not to gain some soulish power by thinking you're doing a good deed. Amen?
How'd they take it?
They went to New Orleans.
He was there. He was a student when I said that.
Okay. They
went to New Orleans.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. How much time was there in testimony versus how much time was there watching naked women?
No, there were some really cool things that did happen. A lot of people were very screwed up and needy in that place. We brought some of them home.
All right. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not. Before the Lord is, it's this great word, it's in the presence of, or in the sight of. Well, wait, let's go back to charging. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5. Just a page to the left or two. This is the duty of elders, starting verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. We don't study that enough. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And then, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. This is the next verse, is one I wished I would have studied before. Let lay hands suddenly on no man. All right. Let's go one more. The next one is a goodie. 2 Timothy. We're going to read ahead a little bit. Chapter 4. Well, let's go back to chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now remember, the only Scriptures that existed, and the only thing that Jesus and the disciples called Scripture, was the Torah. The prophets and the writings weren't called Scripture. They were rebukes. Say that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And what that means is, looking at the Scripture, the Torah, the Old Testament, through the eyes of the cross, you see nothing but Jesus Christ. You see, every jot and tittle was a revelation of Him. Then the prophets came along because the prophets in the writing were given because of rebellion. And then the New Testament is the fulfillment of all of that. The four Gospels are the express fulfillment of that mystery which every one of the previous Scriptures in the Old Testament had shown. The letters are the expression, or lack of it, of that fulfillment in His people, that finishness. And then the book of Revelation is over all of time. It's always true. And so everything, we'll get to the next one. It's everything is in the sight of the Lord. Strive not about words. About words is implied. Strive not as logomachio. It means wrangle about trifling matters. All of us do it, but we should be slapped upside the head if we do it. And this is, any of you ever heard of the Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis? Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from him that's great. He to whom the eternal word speaks is set at liberty from a multitude of opinions. And another way of saying it, you're set at liberty from ever being right. That's huge. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Isn't that going to do Timothy chapter 4?
Oh, we did. Never mind. We got to go over there. Thank you. We're still talking about charge. Chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I know you're doing it. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, to satisfy their itching ears, is what it says. This is a hue. I charge thee. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. What does that mean? What does in season and out of season mean? It means be the same in every environment that you're in. You're the same with family as you are with friends. You're the same here as you are before presidents or paupers. You're always the same. Amen? Okay, now we're going to about strive not. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Thank you, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, thinking about that last thing you said, it's like because you have come to the place and don't ask the question, why did the potter make me thus? You settled all those issues and you are perfect just as you are.
Amen.
And the rest of the world.
What chapter?
4.
Chapter 4, verse 12. Well, this is where he went through this whole thing that there are spectacles and defamed and offscouring of all things. And then he said, I beseech you, be followers of me. And then in verse 19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power or the efficacy. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now again, power here doesn't mean what we think power means, that we're going to be all powerful and call down fire from heaven. Power is the word that means tested integrity. That everything about your life reveals not anything about you, but the integrity of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of God isn't in words. There are a whole lot of people that worship the Bible more than they worship God. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What? Mr. Buckner, you're cogitating again.
That position, it's the difference. It's eternally apart, or opposite ends of the spectrum, to look at the word as language versus the word as power, which is him himself. And it's not even close. These words are about him. The words themselves are not true.
All right. We strive not about words. Oh, wait a minute. I lost my place. Oh, there we are. We strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, no profit is the negative, and then Cresimos, and it means of no use. But subverting is a fascinating word. It means overthrowing or destructing, or it's catastrophe, where we get the word catastrophe. And it's a catastrophe when your theology becomes about words, and there's huge denominational splits about one word. You know, for those years before us, I went to all those churches, and I didn't have anything against the churches. I couldn't hear what they were saying because they were telling me how to get stuff. But then I went to the United Methodist Church, and what I found there was what I think the body of Christ is universally. They had every form of Christianity in whether it was the ultra-liberal, those that thought the Communist Party was conservative, to the right-wing radicals, to the charismatics, to the charismaniacs. They had every form of thought under that one umbrella. And that, for some reason, that just was incredibly attractive to me. Because it's not our business. The only thing that's our business is to be faithful to what we see. And we're not trying to change anybody's mind or... And I don't know how to explain the importance of it, but it was really big. It's not, you know, arguing about words or whether there's a rapture or not. I mean, I'll make fun of people that believe in it, but that's all right. But it's, that doesn't mean they're not part of the body of Christ or the, you know, all of the people in the Benny Hinn Crusade or, you know, it's not our business whether they're more than likely they are believers from God's perspective. And it's important for all of us to keep that in mind so that there's no one that feels any superior to anybody else. I mean,
yeah, that's the whole key to the thing is because that keeps you in a place of humility.
Yeah.
You know, without thinking that you can, you know, judge or persecute, which is, of course, the next step, you know, for something.
But the first part of that was that, you know, we've had that long discussion a few months back about that there's nothing special about this place. There's nothing special about Trinity Foundation. I mean, it's what is. It's what happened without us happening. I mean, it just happened. I don't know how it happened. It's a place of refuge for some. It's a really bad place to others. But it is what it is.
It's God's composting.
Yeah, we're the compost.
Compost pot.
Sticky pot.
Not sticky pot.
Anyway, this next part, it's really neat, of the next verse. But he's...
Billboarding.
Huh?
Billboarding.
Yeah. But we've still got a little bit to finish in that. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
Way worse than subverting.
It's catastrophe. And it's our word catastrophe isn't a translation. It's like anti. Anti isn't a translation, it's a transliteration. Catastrophe in our language isn't a translation, it's a transliteration. In other words, they took the same word and created a new word in the language.
Probably didn't even pay for it.
No. They didn't give anybody credit.
Well, I've heard the word recruit so many times until then, and I have a definition in mind, but what's the definition you're using? Mine might be different.
I know that. Reprove and all.
Well, it builds. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. They're all part of the same thing. Basically, reprove, rebuke, exhort, all really are exhorting somebody to change from one state of or being to another. So to leave time and space and go to the mercy seat. So anytime you're giving importance, anytime you literalize the parable, you know, Then you've become a Pharisee, and so if that happens in here, then you exhort them to get back on the mercy seat. Okay.
Something about that is like everybody in their own minds proves their theories and and then locks them into their minds. And so I've proved the way I think is right. But around here, you get reproved.
How's that worked out for you?
Pretty good. No, you get plowed up so that these locked-in positions are not what you're living your life by. You're living your life by the Spirit of God as opposed to your mind's ability to figure it out.
Amen.
Yeah, in fact, that Greek word has the sense of cross-examining. So it's like your ideas get cross-examined.
Yeah.
And then if you still want to hang on to it, there comes the rebuke and the exhortation. You know.
The whole part of everything that we do, it must be about proving what is true. And in the mystery of God, the only thing that's true is that which doesn't change with time, especially denigrate with time. And the only thing in the universe and outside the universe that meets that standard is God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. And so the idea that you would have some kind of position or stand that didn't meet the standard of truth, i.e. that it would have to be... If you watch television or something, well, go to a church and test it to see if what they are saying could be said in every possible environment and every possible time. You know, and if it can't, it's not true. It's not worth giving any importance to. That's the whole lesson of Abraham. You give importance only to that which doesn't change with time. You know, we have all kinds of crappy opinions. Oh, this is what I think about that. No, I'm going to go do this. And nobody cares. Nobody cares what my opinions are. If I can't prove it, then don't pay no attention to it. And if you can't prove it to yourself, then you're a fool for listening. Amen? Look at him. He's sitting over there in a judgment seat. Ronnie, he looks like a Supreme Court judge.
He needs a rope.
He needs a gavel.
We need him get him a gavel and a robe.
And a mitre. A nice hat.
Take it, big guy, quickly.